Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Good to have you along. Ted Ross at the controls and Carissa's at the phones. And we're looking forward to a good hour again as we anticipate each and every day getting together and just having conversations about important issues and ways that we can apply biblical truth to a daily life situation. And our conversation today is going to focus a bit on noise. This will be your cue, Ted.
No, I just start making crank up some stuff.
So crank up the noise. You know, it is hard to just kind of find, hear God's voice in the midst of all the busyness. And, of course, now here we're September 1, right? Yeah. Launching the, you know, the new month, September, back to school time. And it just, you know.
Busy.
Yeah, it just feels like it's getting ramped up. We're just, 3 weeks away from our fall fundraiser.
Right. The 22nd here coming up.
22nd to get started. So we thank you in advance for your willingness to partner with us and support. And if you've already given and our ongoing monthly giver, we sure appreciate you. Thank you for all that you do to keep Faith Radio going strong. I want to mention, you know, if you haven't been to our website lately, we are each month giving away a study Bible. And this month, again, we'll be giving the New Living Translation Daily Study Bible for Women, featuring the commentary of Joe Briscoe, 360 Daily Devotions from Joe Briscoe to help you guide through the scriptures and encourage your life. So check that out.
So if you want to read through the Bible in a year, get a head start on it and do it now and don't wait till January 1.
Well, sure. This is kind of almost like a new year anyway.
That's right. So,
and our topic today, I think, sort of has a New Year's feel to it. One of the reasons that we wanted to talk with today's guest is that he'll be one of the keynote speakers for a conference coming up on the campus of the University of Northwestern here in just a few weeks, September 19th. It's a one-day leadership conference called FUEL, and it's open to anyone seeking to develop their leadership skills and potential and grow in their faith. And we've had a couple of guests on about that already. We'll talk more as we go along. But let me introduce today's guest. Author, orator, and artist Eric Samuel Tim captivates his audiences with his unique teaching and preaching style. His ability as a communicator is only enhanced by unforgettable live art performances, and he travels literally around the globe, speaking to and ministering to over, you know, 1.5 million people yearly, and has a wonderful ministry. We'll hear a little bit about kind of his painting and his passion, but when he's home, he's serving his local church as teaching pastor and outreach evangelist, and has written a challenging book called Static Jedi, The Art of Hearing God Through the Noise. Has nothing to do with any particular movie that came out in the 80s or 90s.
Or is about to come out
in December. No, that's right. Yeah, we're not even going to talk about that. But we do want to talk about overpowering the empire of noise, and we all feel it. Eric, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Great. Thanks, guys. Honored and happy to be here in the beautiful state of Minnesota.
Yeah, this
is from Rochester. So
this is kind of home area for you. So, and you actually get to be home for a couple of days, I understand.
Yeah, I just got back from being out of the country. So, like I said, the summers are short. September 1st, we all feel that winter coming.
I just saw a tree, a chain of bright colors just yesterday. It's like, oh, I wasn't quite ready to see that. It was beautiful, but I wasn't ready to see it. So, well, speaking of colors, was painting a passion before preaching? Or tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, that's a great question. I started out as a pastor's kid growing up in Wisconsin. And so I've always been around ministry, and then my dad was actually a professional wildlife artist, still is. His name is Sam Tim, and so I grew up around art and ministry. And then at some point in my life, in my early 20s, I just really couldn't get away from the annoying fact that I felt like God was calling me to be a painter. And so I hadn't taken a class since I was in high school, but nonetheless, I quit my job, and I started doing what we do in a sense. Of course, it has obviously had expanded vision and things that have happened along the way, but it's been great to see it unfold. And art is one of those things that I use when I am in a live environment, preaching and teaching, to captivate and kind of reveal and leave a lasting, continuing message. People remember pictures so well, and I think the combined of them together with words, and then you wrap that all from the foundation of God's word, it truly can be a memorable experience. And so I've just been lucky enough to be able to stumble into all of those things, which has been great.
Thinking, we hear lots of words, and here on Faith Radio, of course, it's teaching and talk all day long, which is wonderful. But, we need to really have the picture painted for us, and particularly as we want to talk today about, hearing God's voice, because, it's whether it's, radio or TV or all our electronic devices, there is a lot of noise out there. Say a word about how we, how we begin to kind of quiet ourselves down before the Lord. I mean, obviously that familiar chapter in is the First Kings, isn't it, where Elijah is waiting to hear God's voice, and it doesn't come in the noise. Right?
Yeah, I think the idea is that life can be definitely dangerous when we can't hear God clearly, when we feel like we can't even hear ourselves clearly. And we get to these crossroads, and we usually have these big questions. We've got to come up with these big answers that are going to delineate the rest of our life. And at the same time, it's those small questions and those little answers that direct us really the most, big ships and little rudders. And I just kind of see it personally as something that we need to be aware of as a get to, not a have to. I mean, we don't have to do anything to earn anything more from God or his love or his approval or his affection. But these are all things that we get to do so that we get to love him more and get to hear more and get to have clearer direction. Part of that, when it comes to my life, and maybe others that are listening, is the busyness and the pace of noise that we're all immersed in, that we're bathed in each day. Really good example is, like, if you woke up this morning and you checked your Facebook or your email or your social media, or you turn on the TV, before you invested into that clarity, before you invested into that moment, that's a lot of times we find ourselves living there. That's a slippery slope. And then we get to this place where the noise is the most powerful force in our life. And we have not put ourselves in the place where we can hear the whisper. And not to say that God can't speak through all those things. It's just important for us to see the intentionality where we can place ourselves in some of these spiritual disciplines that Jesus lived and that I talk about in the book, that help us get to that place where we can truly hear God and then be directed by that.
Well, it's interesting. You use the word danger. I know in the book kind of preface, it talks about life is a dangerous place when we're stripped of our ability to hear God clearly. And I think I'm sure, most of us probably don't think of it as a danger. We think, well, yes, it's probably something, an ought to, should do, but, danger is a pretty strong word.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you were heading towards a pitfall and you couldn't hear the warnings, or if you were headed towards calamity and you weren't looking in front of you, it's a lot like driving a vehicle without the correct amount of senses to help you operate that vehicle safely. I feel like a lot of times in our life, we can operate in a couple of them, but when we have all of them, we're going to get there the safest, that's for sure.
You, in the book, as we're talking about, well, maybe we should talk about the title, Static Jedi, The Art of Hearing God Through the Noise, just sort of certainly a catchy title, and catches us, interrupts us a bit from our all the titles that are out there. Just say a word about the title and what you have in mind.
Yeah, well, I think Jedi is definitely also seen as a form of mastery, kind of using the word Jedi in a sense of a movie that we're familiar with. But also Jedi is actually, how I use it in the book, is a short form of the word Jedediah, which is a Hebrew boy's name, which actually means beloved. And the word static can mean noise, this is true, but it also can mean balance and at rest and in equilibrium. Like when you look at one of these beautiful lakes in the Midwest where many of these people are listening, there's this moment where when a lake is still, when a lake is static, it's at rest, it's beautiful. It's also fun to wakeboard on. But when it's still and when it's at rest, I think this is a great picture of the journey we can all be on. We are all static Jedis, internally, in Christ, at rest, in equilibrium, beloved by God. Now, the challenge is for us to become, to journey, to be static Jedis, somebody who masters the noise.
You contrast the noise with clarity. Say a word about maybe why the word clarity as opposed to being, instead of stillness or something else.
Yeah, I like the word clarity. I think people can find clarity in the busyness that's not stillness. For instance, if you're mountain biking on the side of one of the trails in Colorado, you're doing something very active, very demanding, sometimes downright fast-paced, but there's clarity in it. So clarity, I think, offered up a little bit wider definition that I talk about in the book, where it is these things that breathe into us. You know, we're constantly exhaling in life. Clarity, I would look at it from the mechanics of breathing as the inhale, where we are investing that time with Christ. We are in that place. We're breaking bread with people. We're really experiencing and seeing life happen in front of us there in the moment, 100%. You know, there's a number of different ways you can look at it, how it could be defined, but I think it's different for everybody, but I think it is an inhale for us all.
Eric Samuel Tim is our guest today on Connecting Faith. By the way, he will be one of the keynote speakers at the upcoming Fuel Leadership Conference, which will be held September 19th at the University of Northwestern campus in St. Paul. For those in the area who are willing to drive in, you'll have a great day of some wonderful teaching. In fact, we do have some tickets that we're giving away. You can sign up for that on our website. If you go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page, on that show page you'll find a little link there, a little sign-up sheet, and we can give up to four tickets away. You and three friends can go and have a great opportunity to, if you've been to some great leadership conferences like, the Willow Creek Summit, this would be right up there with the really powerful speakers and some life-impacting conversations. So check that out online. Sign up today. And if you'd like to sign up for a copy of Eric's book, we've got a copy to give away at the end of the hour, you can do that with a phone call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or again, if you want to go online, myfaithradio.com, if you go to the Connecting Faith show page to sign up for the Fuel Conference tickets, you can also use the email link there and send us a note that way, too. We'd love to talk with you, and we'll talk more with Eric Samuel Tim, communicator, author, artist, founder of the ministry called No One Underground and the nonprofit Painting Hope, and he's also a teaching pastor and outreach evangelist at his church. Author of a great book called Static Jedi, The Art of Hearing God Through the Noise. More coming up.
In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you, I want to hear your voice, I want to know you more.
That's deep within the longing, deep within our hearts, to know the Lord, to know Him more. And we're painting a picture of what it looks like to hear God through the noise. The Art of Hearing God Through the Noise, the subtitle of Eric Samuel Tim's book called Static Jedi. And painting pictures, what Eric does, as well as speaking and traveling. And he's a teaching pastor and outreach evangelist at his church. And the book, Static Jedi, is out here. It's been out a little while, and we do have a copy to give away here at the end of the hour. If this is a topic that kind of stirs you, hopefully, to balance life, to experience a balanced time of waiting on the Lord and following His path, 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. You know, before we kind of dive into some of the specifics, I know you referenced C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letter several times in the book, and that's such an influential book. I'm just interested in maybe, you know, how that attracted you and some of the things that Lewis pointed out that we maybe not even realize how subtle, you know, noise is affecting us in our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, I think C.S. Lewis has a masterful way that was extremely ahead of its time, if you will, where people were writing so much literature and so many different positions as far as the person who is speaking, and he offers this conversation for these two, basically, a worldly wise old devil and his new understudy nephew named Wormwood, and they have this conversation. Out of this conversation, he can really wrestle and address some topics in a way that may, at times, if we just used regular words, might be just a little heavy-handed. And I think that's the beautiful thing about art, or the arts, or something like this, which sort of is this clever, you know, dramatization of this conversation. He addresses and it can access some harder conversations while the listener can still receive those messages. And it's just a really entertaining book for the thinking person, or for the person who really kind of has to look at that paragraph. I don't know if you ever felt that way, Neil, but when I've read some of C.S. Lewis's stuff, like when I read Mere Christianity for the first time, I mean, I'd have to read a couple paragraphs and then I'd have to think about it for a couple days, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I truly enjoy it from what we can address within how he addressed it.
And there's just the again, I was reminded that so often the enemy is so subtle in his approach, and we don't even realize that. As you said about, you know, we're kind of on a slippery slope, where you know, noise day to day is drawing us away from God, just slowly, steadily, subtly, and we don't even realize it. So is this a matter of well, it's just sort of changing our time and our habits? You talk about, you know, time is money, addressing that. So is this just a matter of kind of reprioritizing our time that's going to make a difference for us to see life balanced and hear God's voice?
Yeah, I wish it was that simple, and I wish I had all the answers, but I don't. I think it's a combination of a few things. Yes, time is very important, and I address this a little bit in the book. So when you're first talking about time is invested, and everything we do pays us an investment, but yet when you always say the word spend time, or how are we going to spend time, we use it as a never-ending resource, and we forget the preciousness of 24 hours each day, every moment. And everything we invest into pays us a return, or it pays others a return around us. And I find in my own journey to becoming a follower of Jesus, less Eric, more like Jesus, is that involves what I do with my time. It certainly involved what he did with his, but I think from my perspective, it involves what I do and where I invest it. If I invest it into the things that matter, I see things that matter. If I invest it into the things that are temporal, I just see things that aren't necessarily evil. They're not necessarily bad. They're just temporal. And I think that's really the delineation that helps me with the issue of time. As far as where that is combined, then with a passionate love that grows, well, that's more of a heart issue. But there again, those heart issues, those heart longings, those passions that we have for, let's just say, your spouse or significant other, I'll take my marriage, for example, that has grown over time. There's an element of courtship that I've invested into my wife, and she asked me, I asked her if she'd marry me, and then she said yes, and we've had that grow over time. And so I think even the heart can be swayed, and it can be moved, and it can be grown through this force that is time. So I really focus in on that in the book when it comes to clarity, when it comes to the investment, and how important that is to being able to put ourselves in the place where we're hearing God and listening to God and understanding what it says and what we're to do.
I know you have young children, and I'm sure you can see, you know, just the investment of time in their lives and sort of whatever activities it is that you do see, you know, that that dividend, that paying a return as well. And certainly as parents, we want to not only be listening to God's voice ourselves, but pass on that that longing within our children as well. Any ideas, any thoughts on how we can, you know, pass this message on to our kids?
Yeah, to do it together. I think there's really not a new idea there. I think in Deuteronomy 6, it says it best, you know, talk about this and write about this and live this and do this together on the doorposts of your house and when people enter, coming and going. And I think as a family, there are those moments when we collectively, you know, John 15:5, seek the vine, I'm the vine. And we need to seek that that person of Christ together and individually, but specifically in the family unit. I love, and it's not something that comes by way of manufacture. I love when my children see my wife and I in a moment of prayer, or I love when my son catches me studying God's word or a class at Northwestern. I'm there right now. I love when they see me do those things. That's one of those moments where you can have those conversations about, you know, knowing God, and then as you pursue the vine, mastering the noise is a fruit of it. And I think what I don't want readers to take from the book is align all these stars and master all these forms of noise, and then you'll know God. It's just a reversal of action to really kind of say, we got to seek this, and here's how we do this. And out of that, one of the fruit will be a life that exists in the clarity. You will continue to master the noise. There are other things too, like love, joy, peace, patience, and all these other things that show up as we continue to know God.
You know, that's, I guess, always kind of the tension we live in, isn't it? We just did this. Well, here's just another series of things that we have to master, and it's all about sort of the form and the function,
right?
Perhaps, right?
Yeah, we like checklists, that's for sure. I mean, we all do. We have to-do lists, and even you look into like narratives with Christ, and just people wanted a checklist. They wanted an easy space to check a box, and being led by the Spirit and seeking this God that is more than what we could even articulate is the thing that leads to all of these other things that sometimes we want to check off on our list.
Eric Samuel Tim is a teaching pastor and outreach evangelist at his church in Rochester. He also is an artist and a speaker, travels and speaks to thousands, millions of people worldwide, actually, and also does some communications lecturing at North Central University and the University of Northwestern. And he has written a great book called Static Jedi, The Art of Hearing God Through the Noise. And we're talking about how we can find balance in life. How did Jesus master the noise? We'll find out more about his example and get some good insight, some encouragement. We do have a copy of Static Jedi giveaway. We'll do that at the end of the hour. You can join us with a call and sign up for that at 877-93-FAITH. Surrounded by noise day in and day out, aren't we? And it can fill our lives if we're not really aware of it. But God often speaks to us in the stillness. Now, when Elijah needed to hear from God, God sent a fire, a quake, and a huge wind. But God wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the quake. He wasn't in the wind. God was in the whisper. The noise hides the whisper. We're talking about the art of hearing God through the noise. That's the subtitle of a book from Eric Samuel Tim called Static Jedi. And Eric, among being a teaching pastor, an outreach evangelist, a speaker, and an artist, travels extensively, and he's going to be one of the keynote speakers for the Fuel Leadership Conference for those interested in traveling to the University of Northwestern St. Paul campus on September 19th. You'll have a full day of some amazing speakers and the great opportunities to grow in your leadership development. And there's a great price for tickets. We got some to give away as well. If you go to our website, myfaithradio.com, then click on the Connecting Faith show page. We've got sign up for some free tickets. We'll do that, give that away. Eric, one of the things you talk about in the book is the risk of being a pseudo Jedi, and you talk about several things, but maybe we'll start with skimming versus drinking.
Yeah. There's a section there where I talk about just sort of some false and sort of fake or just sort of like different forms of mastery that can become easily crutches, if you will, things that help us hobble along in our relationship with Christ. And I think that there is definitely a tension that we exist. I mean, even think of I'm just listening to the show the songs that you're playing during this show and how they deeply resonate with people about knowing God and being still and finding Him and all of these sort of places that come up within us and how our deep calls out to deep. And there is this tension where we have almost like a devotional skimming that we can really get focused in not a deep drinking that we are pulled and drawn to when it comes to specifically in the way that we study the very complex book called the Bible.
Do you, recommend, the little, 5 minutes of the Bible devotionals, or maybe using a Bible app on your iDevice?
Yeah, I mean, I think the devotionals have become a lot like what shavers have become, or ab workout videos. When you had just the straight single razor blade, and now you got two and then three and then five, and then they're battery powered and they rotate and they got a USB drive and they run an Apple operating system and they're also a music player. And I mean, then you got these ab videos that start out like 10 minute abs and then 8 minute abs and then 6, 5, 4, and then no ab videos. They're just this belt you wear, and you put it on and you sit down and the up is already kind of taken care of. You don't have to do the up. You just have to sit and wear this belt. And, I probably should buy one of those belts, but nonetheless, I think that sort of marketing strategy, that sort of consumption can really be easily transferred over to our reading and wrestling of God's word. And even just investing time there with God in His presence, in a place where it's just us, I think those 5 minute reading Bible, sort of devos is a good place to start, but it's not a good place to end. There's this destination that is not the journey. It's the journey is the destination, and that journey needs to continue to grow and be deeper. And I see ourselves just sort of in a stagnant situation where we're doing devos like that, or let's just say, for specifically talking about different topical Bible studies, where we'll do two or three of those a week where we skim it. And then when we're going to think about love or grace or revelation or the book of Revelation, we've got a couple small little sips we've taken. I'd really like, to see people that are following Jesus take these sort of old, methods of research where it's quantitative, where you're reading and you're ingesting and you're really taking your time on a specific book or a series of topics, or you just kind of get a deeper place that you can go, maybe over a period of 5 minutes, but a lot of times those 5 minutes can be very fragmented and they're never really joined together.
Yeah, I think even you referred to, it's almost like we end up taking vitamin supplements versus kind of the real meals.
Yeah, I think there's a danger for us all, to be drawn to the vitamin D that is, the book I write or the book someone else writes or another author, a pastor, you know, books about the book. That's a lot like vitamin D. And in Rochester, Minnesota, where I live, there's Mayo Clinic, and they released a study about vitamin D and calcium and how they work together to make calcium better. And, you know, it's talked about in Peter where we're the milk of the word. And I think milk is obviously a calcium-rich source. And so I just kind of looked at it from the perspective of the books about the books can be supplemental, to our consumption of the book. If we're constantly just taking in vitamin D, that's really what we get addicted to, and then we become depleted of the thing that we're trying to seek, and our skeletal systems get weak. And when the storms of life come, and when it's hard, and faith is easy when it's easy, but when it's not, you know, some of those promises and some of that word and some of that deep drinking that you've experienced in seasons of oasis are what's going to carry you, not little sips, not little skims, not little fragmented, piecemeal together vitamin D capsules offered up by some other person who wrote about it. You know, that revelation that you possess is available to you. You know, not just the people on radio or the people on TV or some pastor or your pastor. I mean, it's available to you. You have a direct line to the Spirit of God and what He wants you to do and how, what He wants you to say and what He's doing for you and what He's saying to you.
Eric, you not only talk about, you know, reading and kind of drinking deeply in the Word, but also hiding God's Word in our heart. I mean, that's, you know, we know that as a is vital. But say more about that. Why is Scripture memory so important, and maybe how has it helped you?
Well, I can only say that, you know, there's a verse in Peter that I memorized as a kid that's usually used in the context of apologetics or defending the faith. And it's 1 Peter 3:15. You sort of got to have this answer. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. You have to be prepared to an answer to anyone who asks you to give you the hope that you have. And I feel like there's something about that where we have to sort of Google the moments in our life and then offer them to the world, or if we can just offer them to the world from the depths of our heart. I think people that we're ministering to, that we're encountering, can tell if this is something that we know or if this is something that's from our heart. There's a big difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. And Albert Einstein knew this. He says, not all information is knowledge. And he's the genius. He's right. And I found that with God's word specifically, when you're talking about scriptural memory and sort of ingesting that, it's easy for us to find that place where it becomes information and it's not necessarily revelation. And when you're with someone at a hospital or tragedy just knocks at their front door, or there's this amazing joyous experience and it's a mountaintop and they're wondering, why does this feel like this? The information they seek is just not that. It's revelation. And when we can connect that to a place, a topic, a category, a narrative, a principle found in God's word, and we can show that, I think that's really when we're doing this in such gentleness and such respect that people are so drawn to that, and their lives are impacted by that.
I was curious if maybe there's not an answer there, but I just wondered, do we know God first to master the noise, or do we master the noise to know God? Does one come before the other?
Yeah, I think mastering the noise is a fruit or a result of knowing God. I think seeking Him as the vine, the fruit comes. I think we can seek fruit and then we don't know where it came from. But if we seek the vine, like in John 15, then I think we're seeing the fruit come. And one of those things is mastering the noise and a life of compassion and a life of justice. I mean, there's so many things that can come out of that, of knowing and being like Christ.
Talking today with Eric Samuel Tim. Eric is a speaker, an author, an artist, and he captivates his audiences with his unique teaching and preaching style, and does great artwork as well, and travels the globe speaking. And when he's home, he's involved as a teaching pastor and outreach evangelist at his church, and he has authored a book called Static Jedi, The Art of Hearing God Through the Noise. He'll also be part of the Fuel Leadership Conference, which is coming on the University of Northwestern campus September 19th, and we've got information and some free ticket sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com on the Connecting Faith show page. And we'll take a quick break and come back and talk more and ask Eric poses a question in the book. If Jesus was coming to a venue in your town at 5 a.m., would you go? Give you a chance to reflect on that. We'll get Eric's response and talk about it in just a minute here on Connecting Faith. Ourselves to hear God's voice through the noise. It's an art. We can find a balance there, though, when we do that. Static Jedi is the name of the book we're referencing today, written by Eric Samuel Tim, who is a pastor and a speaker and an artist joining us today. And we've got some. I've got a copy of his book to give away. We'll do a drawing here at the end of the hour. And we also have some tickets to give away. Eric will be part of the Fuel Leadership Conference in the University of Northwestern campus here in a few weeks on September 19. You can sign up for a copy of the book at 877-93-FAITH. Maybe you have a question or comment, 877-933-2484. And if you'd like to sign up for the tickets, it's myfaithradio.com, then click on Connecting Faith. And so we mentioned the question that you pose in the book. If Jesus was coming to a venue in your town at 5 a.m., yep, would you go? Reflect on that a little bit. I'm not sure what, well, of course, we'd all go, right? We'd be there, we'd get up early to go.
Well, yeah. Sure. Well, I'm asking you, Neil, do you think you'd go?
Yes. I mean, you know, honestly, I'm up at that time anyway, so it, you know, but right. Yes, I think it's one of those kind of questions that helps us evaluate a bit about priorities, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's something that I had to ask myself in the season of life that I'm in. You know, David sought the Lord at midnight, in the midnight hour. Jesus was, well, truthfully, up early. There's times and times again where he is caught, especially like in the first chapter of Mark there, in this first watch, this 3 to 6 a.m., he's alone, praying. He's at the temple. They catch him in those moments. The disciples record that time and time again. And so for me, it really just started to bring this question out. If Jesus was, you know, waking up to go to the, you know, Mayo Civic Center here at 5 a.m., would I get up and go? And the answer, of course, is yeah, resounding yes, depending on the ticket price.
Sure.
And if I'm also speaking there, of course, I wouldn't want to follow them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think about that sometimes when I'm with these other pastors that I have deep respect for, other communicators, and sometimes I just, man, I just got to ask God, how in the world and why am I here? And that's just when you're glad you don't follow them. So the people on the stage. Anyway, long story short, I asked myself that question, and the answer proves to be a bit of a challenge for me. Because like I said, people are in different seasons, but I have young kids, they're 6, 3, and 1. And if I don't get up before they get up, you know, my day has a masterful way of just unwinding. If I don't get up before they're up, I'm already stacking the deck against me, if you will. And so for a long time, moving into this, writing this book, I wouldn't get up very early. And then I found myself in a place where, man, I had no investment of my day into my relationship with Christ. And yeah, maybe it was here, maybe it was there. I was just not quite as clear or cloudy, or just kind of made a shift when I started having kids. And So I asked that question because I always would consider myself not a morning person. And there are a lot of people that consider themselves not a morning person. So in context of the book, that's really why I asked that question. If you're not a morning person, but if Jesus was coming to your town, would you go? And we would all be morning people on that day. And that's something that I've tried to remember and then also steward the night before so I can get up before my day breaks, you know, sometimes at the break of the day to invest that time, but also then not live in a compartmentalized place. You know, Neil, that's something that I really want to make sure everybody who's listening is that, you know, giving Jesus, you know, 10 minutes in the morning is great. But excluding him from the rest of your day is just as detrimental. It's like this boxed in little space where it's our spiritual time or it's our devo time. And then not inviting him to the rest of the currency that's your life is a dangerous place to live. And so a lot of times we get full swing. You know, have you ever made a New Year's like or a resolution, Neil, and you said, I'm going to do this. And then all of a sudden you didn't do it.
Sure. Yeah. Many times.
Yeah. Especially, and I have too, especially when it comes to, you know, getting up early. People, yeah, I'm gonna get up at 5 a.m. and seek Jesus. No, 4 a.m. I'm going to get up at 3 a.m. I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to take 5 hour energy five times a day. That's 25 hours of energy. I got an extra hour for that kidney stone, and I'm gonna you know, pray and live in this clarity. And you know, that's just not even realistic. And at the same time, it's very detrimental to not invite them into the rest. So for those of you that aren't those morning people, you consider yourself like that, ask yourself that question a couple of days a week, and maybe you get up a little bit earlier before your day is crazy, before it's not clear, and invest into the clarity.
You know, I was wondering, one of the things that came up as I was reading the book, thinking about, you know, some people are more extroverted than or introverted. Do we need to become introverts to hear God more? Do we just... how do we manage the people noise around us? I mean, as you said, you got three young kids, you know, a lot of activity.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Neil. Managing introvert, extrovert. I mean, are you really asking me, like, what if you're an introvert?
Or no, I was asking for permission to just be, you know, be introverted, I think.
Yeah, I think so. But at the same time, I think we all need to become the places in our personalities where we leave off and, you know, he picks up. Our weaknesses, sometimes we can find strength there. And some strengths from extroverts is they love people, they look at a stack of books, and it's homework. And the Spirit of God can equip us to see that at times in our life and invite it in our life as a source. And the need for us to withdraw. You know, now if you're introverted, you know, E.M. Bounds writes a great book on prayer about this. Introverts, you know, like you get so introverted that you're never around people. Jesus obviously does both, but I think if you're an introvert or an extrovert, I don't think any of them either have, if you're going to put all of humanity in two categories, I don't think either of them have the market cornered. I think we all have those strengths, we all have those weaknesses, and the beautiful thing about following Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit is where, you know, where we start to leave off, I think, you know, God can pick up.
You're on staff of your church as a teaching pastor and outreach evangelist. Paint a picture for us of what would this look like when a church becomes a static Jedi and begin to hear God's voice through the noise.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing I talk about is we never really become this. We only journey to this. That's sort of a paradoxical, artistic-full way of saying something that isn't absolute. And, you know, a church isn't going to become a church full of static Jedis, but a church can certainly make strides to seek God and have the noise and this be something else that we don't seek. But I think when a church really is journeying this, you really do see a community living in deeper relationships, especially with each other and their God. And a church, you know, coming together to do this, you know, some of these keys, some of these things we write about, we've tried to prepare and allow churches to have resources, you know, video resources and books at a very strong discount, things like that, to make sure that people can just get them at cost and bring their church through this. So that's part of the book, has got those end questions. Did you notice that, Neil?
Yeah.
Where there's an internal and there's internal and external exchange at the end of each chapter, and that's really for you and for your small group that you're attending. And those are just something I wanted to provide so people could do it together, but also separate.
Yeah, both valuable and important to be experiencing a balanced life and in following Jesus. In fact, I know you do kind of at the end of the book, you offer a 7-day challenge. You do provide a little summary of that. Well, before our time has gone here, about 3 minutes, if you summarize this, kind of five key pillars, I guess you talk about.
Yeah, there's five keys to this static mastery that Jesus really gives us from his life. And they're taught in depth, and we go through them in depth. It's interesting to see people's reactions along the way. I try and write it from my own personal journey. I think people are more moved, definitely, whenever we speak from a place of what we're learning versus what we know. And I try to approach that from that perspective. And so I think the feedback is, and that's refreshing. This isn't like I had one guy kind of speak into my life, and he says, Eric, you write like a velvet-coated hammer. Where it's something that hurts, but it also is just so soft. So I thought that was well said. And I said, can I get that in a quote?
Sure.
No, I'm kidding. But the 7-day challenge is really, I liken it to the story of Jericho. 7 days, they did something different. Joshua as a warrior, as taking a siege of a city, you know, for 7 days, 6 days, they did something really, really different than they normally would. And challenge and equip. I don't want to just challenge, that's to defeat you, but to challenge and equip you would be to empower you. And so I challenge and equip the audience to take 7 days and really remove what they consider noise. Not what I'd say, but what they are seeing, sort of the concepts, and they do this, and the response has been great, for sure.
The alternative is complacency, right? Where we just sort of drift along.
Yeah, I think that is the alternative, and what a bleak, miserable existence. The only way you overcome complacency, Neil, is when we allow the possibility of a greater reality to overcome our current reality in all areas of life. When we allow the possibility of a greater reality to overcome your current reality, that's when you become disenfranchised with your complacency. And that's a powerful force, when we realize there's more to God than we know, and we're not satisfied.
We're looking to find balance, to be at rest, to be students of our Savior and our Lord, and to, as Eric Samuel Tim has written about, to be static Jedi. It's the art of hearing God through the noise, and it is the title of his book. You can find out more. Eric, I guess we should mention, is it website? Is it just Eric Samuel Tim?
Yeah, that'll get you. That'll get you there, ericsamueltim.com. We have a few out there working with public schools and superintendents and administrators. That's our Painting Hope website. And what Eric Samuel Tim will get you to where you need to go. And I just want to say hi to my mom, and I appreciate you, Neil, and thanks for the time to be able to speak into the radio.
Looking forward to having you on the campus of the University of Northwestern coming up on September 19th for the Fuel Leadership Conference. Again, we've got some tickets sign up on our website, myfaithradio.com, and go to the Connecting Faith show page. You can hear this interview again or pass it on to a friend, and then sign up for the tickets as well. And join us again next time for another installment of Connecting Faith.